We have been talking about, and we're talking about the power of patience. The power of patience. Say that. The power of patience. Say it. The power of patience. Let me get my iPad working here the right way. Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. The power of patience. As we've been talking about the power of patience, one of the things that I make note of that often we don't really think about is, it's in Galatians 5 and verse 22 when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the things it says is the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. It goes on and says kindness and a number of other things. But rarely do we focus in on that one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. It's patience. And so as God has been speaking to me about the power of patience, I want to just continue with some thoughts around that, because I believe many of us, if we can recognize what's happening as a result of us being patient, then we are able to experience and have an appreciation for what God is doing in our lives. I think I got one amen. That was good. That was good. Couple of the definitions for patience is this: the quality and forbearance and self-control, listen, which shows itself particularly in a willingness to wait on God and His will. I also shared this phrase of biblical patience is a God-exercised or God-given restraint in face of opposition or oppression. It is not passivity. The initiative lies in God's love. The reason why you and I can be patient as a fruit or one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is because God is patient. God is patient. In Psalms 86, verse 14 and 15, it says this: Oh God, arrogant men have risen against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life. And they have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. In 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9, it says this: But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness. King James says slackness, says, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The power of patience is being exercised. God is exercising His patience. Our Father is exercising His patience towards you and I. Not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to Him. God has not only been patient, but He's being patient even now in our lives. He's being patient right now with you. He's being patient right now with me. And the reason why is because none of us are perfected. None of us are mature. We're still growing. We're still being transformed. As a matter of fact, going back to James chapter 1, 2 through 4, it says, Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. Say endurance. Today I want to focus a little bit on patience and that word endurance now, because one of the translations for patience is endurance. It goes on and says, And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In the Message Bible, the same verses read this way: Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors, which simply means that we can talk a good talk about faith. But life has a way, circumstances have a way of bringing to the open where we really live. We can talk faith and trust in God when nothing's going on. But what happens when something hits, Pastor Derek, that we weren't expecting? Does our conversation change? Does our attitude concerning God change? It says, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true color. So listen to this. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work, talking about patience now, so you become mature, well-developed, not deficient in any way. This working of patience has to do with the maturing of us as believers. And I am convinced, and this is not hypothetical, I am convinced that oftentimes the enemy, he gets us off course because we're not willing to be patient in certain seasons of our lives. And I said this last week, and I said this. I was in Pittsburgh this past week, and I did devotions every morning for 3 mornings, and I talked about the power of patience. And one of the things that I said was this, and I know it to be true. The more gifted you are, the more anointed you are, the more challenging it can be for you to submit to the process of patience. That's why it's not good to believe all your own prophetic words and press report you get. People telling you how good you are, how nice you are, how anointed you are. Because sometimes, if we're not careful, we can think, I don't have to go through that. But I'm talking about the power of patience. There is a power that comes in being able to stand still in the midst of some challenging times, some very anxious times. We see it modeled through Jesus as he lived out and walked out his life with the Father. He remained in a place of being patient all the way to the cross. He really did show us how to live it. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work. Let patience do its work so that you become mature, well-developed, not deficient in any way. It scares me sometimes to think about the fact of how many times I've had to go around a certain situation because I tried to circumvent it and not let God do the work in me. And recognizing it's not just the work in me. Because often, when God is dealing with you and I, he's given a word to you and I, it's connected to somebody else. Sometimes you exercising the power of patience is less about you and more about somebody else. And God is saying, hey, I need you just to hold on here. I need you just to hold on. I need you just to hold on. Don't get ahead of me. Don't get ahead of me. Stay with me on this because you're good. But what I'm about to do really isn't about you. It's about somebody else. And so God will, oftentimes he will cause things to develop, allow things to develop. And we have to recognize that while we're walking out the word he's spoken to us, whatever process he has us in may be connected to somebody else's process at the same time. Maybe part of your maturing is connected to somebody else doing something. But when we get ahead of God and we try to hurry it along, we can end up getting to the place where God intended. And you've heard me say this before. Oftentimes, the word that comes to you is not the you that's going to really walk the word out, because there's a process along the way. There's the word, the process, the promise fulfilled. Say the word. Come on, say the word. Process. The promise fulfilled. When God speaks a word to you and I, oftentimes it's multifaceted. It's multi-layered. It's multidimensional. And it's never just about you. It's never just about me. That's why we would do well to just spend time in really praying and really talking to God about the things that He's doing and desires to do in our lives. The church, the body of Christ, is hurting right now because while people are coming to church, not everybody is maturing. Not everybody is maturing. And so it's challenging because we can love God, you can love God, and we're all going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. But nothing's getting done down here. Nothing's happening here. The work of the kingdom is not happening because we're not allowing patience to have its perfect work in us to mature us, to get us beyond ourselves. One of the things I heard that I thought was very powerful as I was at this conference, and the conference was on the synchronizing the apostolic and the prophetic. Synchronizing the apostolic and the prophetic. And it talks about that the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And it talks about how that there has to be the balance of the apostolic and the prophetic. Because prophets can get a word and run out there and get killed. Apostles are able to take that word and be able to give it some structure that causes it to be walked out in a way that benefits everybody. And one of the things that one of the speakers shared, he used this term, concerning the prophetic word. He used the term unmediated word. Unmediated word. And what he was saying was this. He said, there is only one who's ever spoken an unmediated word, and that's Jesus. He said, most of what we call the prophetic, at best, we might want to say, I believe I have an inspired thought, inspired speech, inspired word. Hear what I'm saying now. Because when you and I hear a word, stay with me, when we hear a word that God brings to us, that word gets filtered through your right now. It gets filtered through your past. It gets filtered through what you thought should have happened that didn't happen. It gets filtered through what you hope was about to happen. And how many of you know that all of that mixed up in there can cause that word to end up somewhere that God never intended? As a matter of fact, the person that's giving the word, that word's going to come through their filter, their lens. Come on, y'all. Yeah. And this is why, even in the gift of the prophet and the prophetic word, you got to let patience have her perfect work, that you be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Because it's easy to get a word, run with that word, and get wrecked down the road. There's something about us recognizing the power of patience, the power of endurance. Because sometimes God will require of you and I to hang in there through something that by rights you could step away from. But God says, I need you to stay here a little longer. I need you to stay in this a little longer. I need you to stick this out a little longer, and I'm going to give you the grace to do it. I'm going to give you the grace to do it. But I need you to be patient. I need you to be patient while you're walking it out. That's why if we go back to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, seeing we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which would so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, endurance, the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God our Father. There's the word, the process, and a promise fulfilled. Every word God speaks, he brings it to pass. Our position is to cooperate with the word. Some years ago, I did a series on committed to cooperating with the word. Committed to cooperating with the word. And there are, let me say it this way. And we are in a season right now of God moving prophetically through his church. God is beginning to speak some things to those who have an ear to hear that change is coming, shifting is happening. And he's saying, stay the course, because while it may look like it's going one way, it just looks like it's going one way. But it's out of the place of endurance and recognizing God is working something in me right now in the midst of this. It's this song the saints sang years ago, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I see you, Mom Minifield. You know that song. You remember that one. Dick, you remember that song back in the day? Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. Now, you know what? That is so easy to sing. It's so easy to sing it. Get to tapping your toe with it. And I remember back in the day, this is back when Pastor Reese and I were young and our marriage in the church and Mom and Phil there. Boy, that organ be going, them drums, saints be up, boy. They didn't have a lot of weaves back then. They had wigs. So wigs shake, you know, I mean, it was, I'm telling you, it was on. And everybody was enjoying it. Oh, what a change. Now, ain't nobody thinking about the process. Okay? And now hear me, because I'm singing it. I mean, I love the song because it's part of our reality. It's part of the metamorpho, the transformation that's supposed to be happening. But this transformation doesn't just happen because you come here and you sit and we sing some songs and you feel good. No, it happens because you and I submit to the process that's going to lead us to the fulfillment of that word. And sometimes you're going to have to stay right in the midst of it. That's why when we read through the Psalms and we read about David and on his journey, over and over, he said, one time in Psalms 27, I would have fainted. I'd have given up except I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And when he finished it out, he says, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on God. Those of you that have learned to wait on God, you know what I'm talking about. Where you can just, I just got to get still. I just got to wait. God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't like what you're doing. I'm not real happy about this season. I didn't see this coming, but you did, and I'm yours, and you are mine. And so I just need to pause for just a minute, get recalibrated, because my flesh wants to go a certain way. My mind wants to go a certain way. My emotions want to go a certain way. But it's like that slide that I put up there of the girl with her hands up. God, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I'm going to need some bail money to go with it. Because I'm about to hurt somebody. As Jesus walked out his journey, we see patience exercised, the power of patience. As he walked with those disciples and those individuals, and they murmured amongst themselves, and they bickered amongst themselves, and they jockeyed amongst themselves, he looked right past all of that and remained in a place, the power of patience. Peter prophesied. Peter spoke a word that only God could give him. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But a little later, Peter's the same guy who's standing in the way of Jesus going to the cross. He says, now get thee behind me, Satan. But he's still patient with Peter. He comes to Peter and says, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. He's patient, long-suffering. He tells Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times. Lord, I'd never deny. I'm going with you all the way. Now you're going to deny me, Peter. And Peter sits right there by the fire and denies Jesus. But Jesus is walking into the power of patience. It was his custom, it was Jesus' custom to be able to get still, to get quiet. Sometimes the best thing you can do is turn off the TV, turn off the phone, turn off the computer, and just get somewhere and get still. And don't talk. Just think on the goodness of God and let him do a download. That was Jesus' custom. That's why when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, remember it says, as it was his custom? It's just what he did. Talking about David. David was a worshiper. David was intimately acquainted with and had a daily relationship with the Father exhibited through obedience. That's a worshiper. So when he hit those hard times, it was nothing for David to pull away. When he went back to Ziklag and everything was gone, and his men wanted to kill him, and everybody's depressed, and everybody's going through. Excuse me. It says David got off to himself. He could have been pulled into that emotional place. And hear me, it's one of the traps of the enemy to get you to respond out of your emotions and not out of a place of faith and prayer. As hard as your life may be, God can handle it. As hard as your life may be, God is handling it. And the more you acknowledge him, the more you're going to recognize that. And things that you think you will have to do, you won't have to do, because he's already handled it. So in 1 Samuel 30, where he's at Ziklag, David gets off to himself, and it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself. Then he said, bring me the ephod, the priestly garment. He put it on, and he began to intercede and say, Now, what do I do, Father? Shall I pursue? And in that moment, he says, pursue, for surely you will recover all. I believe at the very moment God said pursue, the guy down the road was getting sick and couldn't travel with the rest of the band any longer. So he's sitting on the side of the road when David goes down there and takes David and his men to their stuff. I'm talking about the power of patience. I'm talking about the power of endurance. There is a grace for you and I to continue to endure and walk through what we're walking through. I want to wrap this up just with a couple of more thoughts right here, real quick. Many of you know of my testimony of healing. That was a 15-year journey, and how that the last 2 years of that journey, I've been diagnosed with they said they found cancer in my prostate. But for the 15 years, for the 13 years leading up to the last 2 years, I just walked it out of a place of patience, of just waiting on God, talking to God, not getting distracted by it, but staying in a place of faith and trusting God. And even once that diagnosis came, I didn't move away from what I had been saying all along. And that is, whatever's going on in my body doesn't belong to me. It was born on the cross over 2,000 years ago. And I wouldn't talk about it because I didn't need anybody else talking about it. Because most folk don't know how to talk about it. But now I'm talking about a word, a process, and the fulfilled promise. Because on that night in Montreal, Canada, having had the procedure and on my way to complete healing and wholeness, I sat there in the hotel. Pastor Marisa was there, my daughter. And I sat there in this chair just resting. And I'll never forget, I began to put some things in my phone. And I want to end by helping us understand this when we talk about the power of patience, the power of endurance. I wrote this. I realize that in and of myself, if I am not completely yielded and completely surrendered, my flesh, my mind, my reason, my intellect, my will always lean towards a lesser version of a more powerful, more magnificent glory to which he is worthy of and is after. I sat there and I realized in that moment, this is about God getting glory. This is about God getting glory. This is about God getting glory out of your life, out of your situation, out of your circumstance, and in that process, maturing you, growing you up, so that you come to a place in your walk in God that when things hit your world, they don't shake you, don't move you. Folk will look at you and they will ask, how is it you're handling it as well as you're handling it? And you can tell them, absolutely, it's the grace of God. But I need you to know, I know a thing or two. Because I've seen a thing or two. I know a thing or two because I've been through a thing or two. And I can tell you in every case, God has brought me through it. God has brought me on the other side of it. And it has matured me in some ways. And lastly, this was the other point that I wrote that night. Because this, don't put it up there just yet, Tracy. Because, hear me, in the process of understanding patience, more often than not, we really do want to hurry through it. And we just want to get on the other side of whatever it is. Not recognizing what God may be doing through you for the benefit of others. Is it possible that you can be in the middle of something right now and God is saying, daughter, Rondessa, this isn't about you. So quit praying like it is about you. You just worship me and thank me for my goodness in your life. Because this isn't about you. It's somebody that's watching you that you don't know is watching you. It's somebody that's waiting for you to fall, waiting for you to just be done. I want you to know that we are pressing our way through some things right now. Individually and corporately, even as a house. But y'all, this ain't just about us. There's somebody watching you to see how you handle it. And if you'll let me bring you through the process and you just be patient, I'm going to get glory out of you and they will give glory to me. And so as I sat there, because we pray about miracles, signs, and wonders, and we should, because in the kingdom, it should be our norm. But those things aren't necessarily for us. They're for the unbeliever to see the working power of God. You hear me, John Paul? No, what people see in you and what they see in me that causes them to be astounded is the fortitude and the faith and the trust and the perseverance and the endurance that you and I continually walk through when they're watching our lives and wondering, how are they making it? How are they doing it? How are they staying the course? How are they still giving God glory? How are they still praising God when I know what they're dealing with? And not flinching, not backing up, not trying to get out of it, not looking for the exit sign. Because this was the revelation for me that night. God getting the maximum glory out of our lives often involves allowing others to walk with you through your journey. God would that we'd be able to lay hands, speak a word, healed. Nobody ever really know about that other than you tell them. But there's something about individuals watching your journey, hearing you talk about the goodness of God, the love of God, the faithfulness of God, while you're working through that job, while you're working through that marriage, while you're working through wayward children, while you're working through lack of finances, while you're working through a health challenge, but you remain resolute in your faith, your trust, and the words that come out of your mouth. It's like they talk about the patience of Job. Job's wife said, you need to just curse God and die. He said, you need to go sit down. That ain't happening. I know he didn't say it like that, but you know what I'm saying. That ain't going to happen. Though he slay me, yet shall I serve. God getting the maximum glory out of our lives often involves allowing others to walk with you through your journey. Sometimes we don't want to let people know what we're going through because we're embarrassed. And what God is saying is your breakthrough lies in you being able to walk through, get past those feelings of being embarrassed and let folks know what I'm doing for you. Knowing your story, watching your story unfold, seeing your sufferings, your endurance, and your patience. Seeing his grace at work in your life, allowing them to trust and glorify God with you. Can I tell you that's what part of this journey is about? Team, would you come up? Pastor Derek, would you come up? This week, I've called our church to a week of fasting. Starting on tomorrow, we will end out next week, next Sunday, during our communion time. 7 days. Say 7 days. 7 days. Come on, say 7 days. Y'all know that's a short one, right? Usually it's 21 days. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Just 7 days. As we end out our time, I just want to pray. You got a song, a chorus, or something prophetic, man? I mean, you got something? Okay, I just... Not putting you on the spot. I just thought, you know, you're a psalmist, man. You hear. So here's what I want to encourage you about concerning our fast. Now, you'll find that you should have a little pamphlet handout there for the Daniel fast. Hey, if you can do the Daniel fast, make sure that you handle it based on whatever... things you may have going on medically or those kind of things. If you can do more than the Daniel fast, do more than the Daniel fast. God's going to meet you right where you're at. Seven days, I want you to set a time aside during those 7 days. Each day, I'm going to let you decide how much time and when the time is. What I'm believing for is that this will be the 7 days that breaks things open in your life. In 1 Kings 17 is where Elijah prophesied the drought, famine. He says, there will be no rain except by my word. And then you'll remember that it dries up, the brook dries up. He goes to Zarephath. Then he takes care of the woman at Zarephath. And then he continues on till he has the encounter with Ahab. Then he does something incredible. He has a showdown with the prophets of Baal. And you'll remember how all of that unfolded in the midst of a drought. He defeats the prophets through a miraculous, supernatural showdown. After that, he's now praying and in 1 Kings 18, verse 41, it says this. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth, and he put his face between his knees. Say prayer. Prayer. Come on, talk, say prayer. Prayer. And he said to his servant, go up now toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Now listen to this. And he said, go back seven times. Go back seven times. And it came about at the seventh time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And listen to this. And he said, the prophet said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. He tells his servant, he says, you go seven times. I want you to recognize that there's a significance to these 7 days. Seven represents the number of completion. We are in a season of still walking out the word that God brought to us at the first of the year, that this being a year of kingdom expansion. One of the things that I shared with you as part of that word, as we looked at the number 8, is that this would be a new cycle of new beginnings. God speaks the word to the prophet, tells him, shut up the heavens. Then he speaks another word that says, now open the heavens up. But he says to his servant, I want you to go 7 times. And at the end of the 7th time, I'm speaking prophetically now, on the 7th day of our time, some things are going to open up. I'm prophesying to you. Now hear me now. Just as the prophet said, go tell Ahab he needs to get out of here now because it's about to rain. Now all they saw was a little cloud. But I'm telling you, I see some things on the horizon. And I'm speaking to us now prophetically. You join to this house. This is our mandate for this coming week. But you don't have to be a part of the house to participate. Because I believe when God is speaking to his body, he's speaking to his body. And so I encourage you. It goes on and says, so it came about in a little while that the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. The rain came. The heavens opened up.